fail you, but we're trying to find you to make sure that you're getting something out of the class. I mean, you just can't go to school and don't learn anything. And those of you watching by internet, technology can be a blessing or a beast. We know exactly what time you go on the internet to take that test and exactly what time you go off. So just give it up and be a student. We know when you're on the, in class, so be a student and just recognize we integrity and honesty is one of the main things of this school. And we want you to be trustworthy and do things in the proper way. You know, it's you never want. I had a girl one time, we caught her cheating in school. And how she was cheating, she was a real smart girl, and she was helping another girl pass the test. And they caught her, and she made a crazy statement if she knew she was going to get caught or something like that. I don't know what it was. But it didn't make no sense for a person to know that the devil is a liar, and that if you cheating, you lying, you with the devil. How you gonna come out a good student out of school? So overall, we did good. The 10 who made the F, I don't know. We got to work out some kind of way. In the D, not good enough. I was a straight A student in Bible college. I wasn't a straight A student in school, because I wasn't that interested. But in Bible college, I was a straight student. I want you to get your Bible, because I want to read two sets of scriptures, because I want to thoroughly deal with these lessons on the two type of resistors. And the reason we need to deal with it, we're in a transitional, transforming position in the church. As far as we're concerned, we see that there's a movement, or there's a returning and a restoration back to God's original plan, where the church would be in the original power and have the original functioning that God wanted to have from that apostolic point of view. And so we talked about the pioneers and the enablers. Thank God for them. I have many of them. But the resistors, you need to know how to deal with the resistance that is in you, if you have any resistance, because there's a discipline you're going to have to develop in order to function properly in this type of ministry. This stage in the church is no longer some self-existing category. It's denying yourself. It's nothing regular about this. It's nothing regular. I know there's a lot of schools that's in the system now around the world, but in this school, if you will listen, you'll be set for what's transpiring now in deep dimension by the Spirit of God. It will revolutionize a minister. Yes, sir. If you pay close attention, if you believe that you got a calling on your life, it will change your disposition. If you pay close attention, put up 100% in this thing, and accept this apostolic concept. It is different than the normal pattern that the church had been going through. Within the context of that, it would learn you also how to defend yourself and how to be able to yield to the Spirit of God in your own personal life, that the word can take a deeper dimension in your life, that you will have fruit in your life where you be able to share with others who are trying to find their way. Ministers have been behind too long because we have not known properly the full principle of the anointing and what God wants us to do. And so we become competitive, we become complainers, just like everybody else. But I found out by trials and tests and success that any minister or any ministry can be successful.
Yes, sir.
But it will cost you. You see, you cannot be successful by just being a copycat. Because copycats don't put no time in themselves. They're just riding on somebody else's ship. But you learn all your read information. And then sometimes just one thought out of a whole book can change your life. So I'm just trying to tell you some of the secrets here that will cause you to be successful. You know, when God says, talking about wrapping his possibilities around your impossibility, wrapping his possibility around your insufficiencies. You know, you first of all, you got to recognize you have insufficiency. And, you know, we need, in this business, we need a lot of grace. A lot of grace. And in this season, I believe the pace of grace going to speed up. God's grace going to get at a greater dimension. Going to be moving because they're going to be receptacles. You may not be one, but they're going to be receptacles. They're going to be receiving that grace. And that grace is going to step up the pace of their anointing. They're going to be different people. And then you can stand back there and be a griper and a grumbler and say, don't take all that. But it took everything the book of Acts yours. Okay? And so if you would look with me in this scripture, because as you talk about resistance, I just asked the Holy Spirit, I said, before I left out the office, I said, you know, give me a couple of scriptures to show that how to deal with resistance and what resistance aim are is to stop the church from coming to her potential, stop you from coming to your potential, trying to hold that little self kingdom. I don't know how long you've been in church, but there are people who try to hold that little self kingdom. Well, I've tried to kill all of them here. Or run them off. Because I know what they'd be. It'd be detrimental to good, heart, God-fearing people who want the truth and really ready to help and carry the mission out or the assignment out. So I don't compromise along that line. Because I want it to be where the people who come to this church can come to a clean, wholesome, God-fearing church, have God-fearing leaders, and just enjoy the environment. Yes, sir. Enjoy the experience with God. Even though we be correcting you and cutting you up, you be bleeding and carrying on, but yet you sense the salve or ointment of compassion. Yeah, right. While it's going on. Can I talk with you?
Yes, sir.
While it's going on. So you are not here by accident. You're here for a reason. I want you to pay attention to every class. This school is designed to bring you right smack dab in the middle of God's will.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Where you can stand present in the counsel of God all the days of your life and know exactly what he's saying, not only by hearing, but by seeing it. I'm studying some aspect of the seer. And all of you can become seers. You can see what God's saying. Here, they didn't only hear what God was saying, they saw what God was saying. And so a lot of power and demonstration of the Spirit is supposed to come out of this school. So we don't want commonplace all of this information and just try to get enough ingredient to pass a test and say I finished Ever Increasing Word School of Ministry. No. It's more deep than it. This is a life experience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I know you sacrificed to be here, and so make it work while you're here. In Acts chapter 13, you know, they was ministering to the Lord, and the Lord set aside certain men that he's going to send forth. He was sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And you run into resistance when God sends you forth. And so I just want to show you how these men dealt with these resistors. Here in Acts chapter 13, after they admitted to the Lord, the fourth verse says, so they've been being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Verse 6 said, when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, and that's a resistor, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputies of the country of Sergius, Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul. So now you got two apostles. and desire to hear the word of God. And see, there are people come who hear every tomorrow night, every Sunday. Genuine people who come, they are desiring to hear the word of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But then if you let resistance get in your midst and begin to stir a mess up, and you have to deal with them. You have to know how to deal with them. I think most ministries are held back, number one, because they might be a resistor in changes. See, changes, boy, when you have to make changes, sometimes you're in a comfort zone. You don't want to make that change. You make excuses instead of making the change. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
And by not making the changes, it holds you back, and you never produce what God wants you to produce. It takes a lot of discipline for ministry. You got to listen to the Lord. You got to do what the Lord tells you to do. And you can't become so friendly with somebody that they will pull you from what God is saying to you.
Yes, sir.
See, your best friend must be Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And he said he'll be your friend. He said that in John 15.
Yes,
he said, I don't call you servant, I call you friend.
Yes,
and friends hear secrets.
Yes,
yeah, those who become a friend. And see, David was a friend of God. Man after God's own heart, God told David some secret.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So, you want to make sure you put yourself in the position that Moses was in. You see, he showed his ways to Moses. And he told them people when they come against them, resistance came against Moses. He said, no, I talked to him mouth to mouth. Y'all don't know what y'all are talking about. No, he's not the only one I talk to, but I talk to different people different ways. Make a note of this, because it's burning in my spirit. We hop on authority, authority, authority. Let me tell you the secret of authority. You ready?
Yeah.
You want to know the real secret of authority? Do you really want to know the real secret of authority? Intimacy.
Yes, sir.
So I think instead of working so hard on authority, we need to work on intimacy, getting close. See, I'm taking on worship now. And that's what you get close to God. Then intimacy, authority, dominion, and then your reign in life. See, intimacy. That's what you need to worship, praise, prayer, meditation, those things that make you close to God, and at the same time it be a sweeping going on.
Yes, sir.
You know, John 15:3 said we're cleansed through the word, and then in John 17 he said, Jesus said, I sanctified him with my truth. We need to be clean. Cleaning our hearts, cleaning our mind. Knowing we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. It's all right, but God already got that set. But be not a mistake seeker. Seek the Lord. Don't seek error. Seek the Lord. Now, you may say, well, anybody seeking error? Yeah, I know. If you're blind, you will. If you deceive, if you can't discern, you will. You see what I'm saying? See, this is also class. This is a discerning business. This is either discern or be deceived. And this is of the realm of the spirit. This is not a physical, intellectual society. This is a society that has access to the spirit realm, access to the supernatural, access to the mind of God, the ways of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. And so, the enjoyment of ministry is not going to come until you recognize that. You recognize that every day and every moment you can break into another realm.
Yes.
Not becoming satisfied, not becoming comfortable,
yes.
Not becoming familiar with scriptures. Let scriptures stay fresh.
Yes.
They will feed you.
Yes.
They will feed you inside. They will, I'm getting overwhelmed. They will take you places that the average person would never go with God. It's a nearness. It's a closeness. It's a whisper away. He's there. And you're always eavesdropping. When your life gets to the place that you're eavesdropping on God all the time. I want what he's saying. You know what he got to say. You're too busy. If you don't spend 3 or 4 hours with God a day, you're too busy. You say, I got a job. You stayed 8 hours, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're too busy. You know, you talk about this hour of prayer. No, God's supposed to be 24. And you're supposed to be alert and aware when God said, I need to talk with you. I really need to talk with you. You know, and then you got the excuse, but you got to go to the game and you got to do something or something like that. So I think in this apostolic age, what I'm going to try to do is with my people, I've done a pretty good job with the help of the Holy Spirit. I don't, in our church, we don't have a messy church. And my members know what I'm allowing, what I'm not going to allow. I'm going to allow what God allows. I'm not going to allow what God don't allow. And so I'm pretty strict. But that's discipline. That's for their own good. That's why I want you to learn that in this school, to discipline yourself. But here, just because God sent you does not mean you're not going to have resistance. But the thing is, you have to know how to deal with resistors. Stop resistors from stopping other people from receiving what they desire to receive from God just because they want things to go their way. As long as the church exists, you better know that you're going to have resistance. And that's why I think the apostle is pointing out so clearly, it's so clear for me. And I know how to deal with resistance to a certain extent. I'm still learning. But I have some insight on resistance. I know when to speak to them, when not to say nothing to them, and et cetera. But here you got these guys preaching the kingdom, preaching the word of God. And you remember in Acts 16, you remember how Paul and went there to pray and preach. And they got this woman following them and talking about they're the good men of God. See, now if you don't have discernment, because I tell you, as a Baptist boy preacher, man, I was married with Paul. I said, man, this nice lady, she's saying good things. I mean, what's the matter with Paul and them? You know, I, as if I knew more than them, because I'm reading the Bible, And then the Lord really finally revealed to me, and said, dummy, that woman wasn't with them. They discerned, you couldn't discern. You just heard the word she was saying. She's trying to stop the ministry that I've given them. And so you have people who try to do that. All right, now. So we got this false prophet. And this man trying to hear what Paul is ministering. And then the seventh voice, which was with the deputy of the country of Sergius, Paulus, a prudent man. That's the man who called for Barnabas. He called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. That's a resistance, isn't it? Yes. Now notice that in verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. You see that? Now, people in this modern time, they don't want that to happen. She was such, like I thought about that woman in the 16th chapter of Acts. She was such a nice lady, and the man of God just kept cutting on her and telling her to sit down and all that. You see, if you don't understand anything, you're going to be a spiritual dummy. Yeah. And you're not going to be able to protect God's flock. Yes, sir. Paul said, when I leave, grievous wolves will come among you. Then he says, even though the rise would perverse things in your midst. So you have to work the word of grace that you can grace the people whom God has put you over and stop the people who are trying to stop those people from receiving.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So it's not just pick up a Bible, write an outline, and shout out a verse. It's a spiritual world. It's a spiritual world, and we're training you for spiritual combat, spiritual to grow in the midst of a stunted society. That you still grow spiritually. You be able to grow, be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, and having flow of the Holy Spirit all the time. I didn't know the Lord wanted me to talk about this so much, but this is so important. For us to understand, there's so much more. There's so much more. And don't take this as a side journey, just coming to school. Man, this is the midst of your life. And so the ninth verse, then Saul, who's called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, oh, full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. What he did, he discerned him.
Right.
Thy enemy of right. Look what he called him. Child of the devil. full of subtlety, enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then suddenly, when the deputy saw what was done, believed, being astonished, the doctrine of the Lord. See, that's the doctrine of the Lord. The doctrine of the Lord, I say to my student this morning, the doctrine of the Lord is established order. You know, and I said I want to look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians 14, the last verse in 1 Corinthians 14. I want to remind you, that's two. 1 Corinthians 14, 13 chapter, 12 chapters about the gifts of the Spirit, 13 chapters about what motives are whereby the work of love. Then the 14th chapter started explaining how the gifts work in various ways. But you get to this last verse, he said, let all things be done. Let all things be done. Let all things be done. I think that's where the church stopped at. But you see what he said? What he said? What the whole thing said? I'm at the right chapter, 14th chapter, last verse. Is that the right verse? Well, y'all spark up a little bit. What it says? You need to say that and you need to hear that. Don't let all things be done and stop there. In his apostolic ministry and apostolic time, as Apostle Paul, he didn't let, see this man here, he didn't let this man go. And see, now that's a sorrow group. When you got to deal with somebody, you got the sorrow group in the church.
Yes,
see, they don't even know what's going on. They don't even know the danger was sitting on the road with them. And the man or woman of God have dealt with them. Now they're the sorrow group. Because they've been, I've been knowing this place for 10 years. You can know a devil for 10 years.
Yeah.
But things have to be dealt with. You see, in this apostolic age, that's what's going to start happening. Things have to be dealt with. Paul dealt with that woman in the 16th chapter of Acts. He dealt with this man here another time, another religious group. After that lame man had got healed, they went to their own company. They prayed and said, God, now let's show some signs and wonders and operate by the name of your holy child, Jesus, so we can get these markers off our back. And the Bible said that the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost again, you remember? The Lord gave him a fresh anointing. And the apostle worked by two things. They worked by power and they worked by grace. And the church was stabilized. Also, look at Acts 9:31. Acts 9:31, because that's very important that we get there. We're trying to get the church there. We need to get the church in the fear of the Lord. We need to get people in the fear of the Lord. We need to get them in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We need to get them where our assignment in Ephesians 4 is to build a church, edify the church, perfect the church for the work of the ministry. And that voice is a powerful voice, Acts 9:31. Read. All right, see now, the reason that the Holy Ghost is bringing this all up, that when we, I don't even know, I'm going to get to some of the lesson tonight, but if we don't know how to deal with resistance properly, then we break the effect of the pioneer and the enablers.
Wow.
Somebody got to deal with the resistance.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what you really want to do is convert a resistor from being a resistor to an enabler or a pioneer. And many times it does happen. They recognize. Sometimes people are jerking around and doing things and they don't know why they're doing it, but it's a spirit behind it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay? But that's the primary voice where you want to get to right there. See? What? Rest? What else? Think about your own personal life. Rest? What else? Edified, mean built up? What else? Walking in the field. Well, if you're walking in the field of the Lord, you're not just going to do anything.
Right.
Amen.
Right,
I say, amen.
Right.
You're walking in the field of the Lord, that's a respect,
right.
That's an honor,
yes,
and that's a recognizing that God can knock you off your feet without even looking at you.
Yes, sir.
And then Jesus said, I'm not going to talk much with you right now because the enemy coming, he don't have nothing in me.
Right.
Satan has to have a target to get you. You can believe it every time something happened in our lives, all our lives. is some door we left open. In your prayer time, in your meditation time, you start closing those doors. The more time you spend with God, the more doors be closed. Uh-huh. But Satan always has to have a target, something you said, something you done, something you thought and didn't deal with, and that'd be his target to come in. See, Jesus said, he had nothing on me. I ain't thought nothing, I ain't did nothing. So Satan got to have some way to attack you. He can't attack you. That's why in Ephesians 4:27, you know what Ephesians 4:27 said? Hold up. You know what Ephesians 4:27 said? Huh? Who know what Ephesians, don't tell me, but who know what Ephesians 4:27 said? How in the hell are you going to protect yourself if you don't know what that said? Turn to Ephesians 4:27. You need to know. You need to know what it is. He said, don't give no place to him. One translation said, don't give him no foothold. You see what I'm saying? And I use that word hell just to catch you, because that's where it comes from, hell. Ephesians 4:27. Not to give place. They tell me not to give place to him. That means I can give place to him. Jesus said, he coming, but he ain't got nothing on me. I'm not going to talk right now because he ain't going to get nothing. So I'm going to be quiet. Let him just stand there. Some people I get around don't say nothing. I talk too much. Really, I know I talk too much. You know, I talk too much. I got so much information in me. I be trying to shut up and don't say something. But Jesus had more information than me. He stayed quiet, so I need to shut up some too. But I'm just training myself. I see so much of a need when I get around ministers and young people. I try to tell them a whole lot of stuff, but you really don't supposed to talk that much. Now, I be talking the word, so I guess you can talk the word. You know. Not trying to impress nobody what you know. But just trying to tell people there's another place you can go. Yes. And that's a deeper dimension. You can get grounded and rooted in Jesus. And you get what Jesus the only Jesus can satisfy you all by himself. Yes, you ain't got to have no scheme. You got to do nothing. You just in the comfort zone with Jesus. Comfort zone with the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit is greater communication to you than any other type of communication. When you get there, you're gonna rest right there. That's a place to be. I've been there 40 years. That's a place to be. That's a place. Once that hunger get birthed in you, it has to be birthed in you. I'm not just talking about Bible reading and reading books. I'm just talking about a longing for a deeper walk with God. See, only the Holy Spirit can put that in your life. But you see, he dealt with that man. That man, he dealt with him supernaturally and not a man blind. And when you deal with Satan, people can go free. You deal with Satan, probably people can go free. Now, in your own personal life, you have to live holy, sanctified, set apart, clean. Right. Yes, sir. And then when you minister to people, you're not ministering no filth to them. Yes, right. And you have no skeleton in the closet, and people got to be ducking in the seat because you got the most spirit coming out of you. Yeah. You know. And people know when you got them spirit now. They know. They might have a few themselves, but they know when you got them. So let's just these that chapter 22 with these four kind of believers in the church, and we begin to look at these resistors now. And then I had other scriptures. You a Bible student, you can go and find different people that resist certain things. But you know, we talked about resistor A, those who do not know what is happening. Those who do not know what is happening. And they got A and B, the characteristic of a resistor A. We're going to deal with that. What resistors A arise in our churches? Why resistors A rise in our churches? Then resistor B is those who will prevent anything from happening. The characteristic of resistor B, we're going to deal with that. Reading behind the paradigm of resistors B, and stages in which resistors B attack changes. They attack change. They don't want things changed. They're in a comfort zone. They're in their self kingdom. They're in their self consciousness, and they will attack change. And so there will be some attack going on now, because myself and the apostolic team, we have made our mind up. Then I had 100-something minutes on them phone this morning, and they're training them to make their mind up that we're going to have an open heaven over the regions where we are. Jacob ladder going to be set up. And angels are going to be taking message from us and bringing messages to us. And we'll be able to see in heaven and see the Father giving instruction of how he's going to bless us. And the promises of God will become a reality to us instead of just a poem. Then there's five areas of attack on leadership targeted by resistors. On their nature and character. That's why our nature and character must be above board. On their attitude and motive. Our attitude and motive must be above board. On their qualification and spiritual position, we must know who we are. You see, our qualification and spiritual position, we must know who we were. So when the attack comes, it doesn't matter. And then on their wisdom and zeal, these various areas that we must, as a student, know. Now let's deal with this resistor A, those who do not know what is happening. It's the characteristic of resistor A. Number one, these are people who resist any change, any changes in the church or its ministry because they are ignorant of all the purposes that these changes are seeking to establish. You see, these people fight, these resistor A, number one, resist any changes. Now, I have to go way back to really explain this to you in the Baptist church. I think the Baptist church got more resistance than any denomination in the world. How many of y'all are Baptists? I'm still a Baptist, you know, but that's why I got saved. But boy, I had some resistance there. They'll resist change. We'll find out it's because of ignorance, because of improper apostolic training. Had they been trained by a real leader, the little coup couldn't have been built. They built little coups. That's cool. That's the word they use, right? Yeah, to work against something, all right? So these are people who resist any change in the church or its ministry because they are ignorant, get that word ignorant, of all the purposes. Ignorant of all the purposes that these changes are seeking to establish. In other words, when the church is properly changing to the pattern of the will of God, everybody get blessed. But if you ignorant of why it's changing, you won't fight the change because, first of all, you don't respect delegated authority.
Yeah, that's good.
Because if you don't understand something, you're following your leader. You just follow your leader till it come clear.
Yes,
if you got a real leader.
Yeah.
Are you understand?
Yes,
they realize, number two, they realize that the changes are taking place faster than they can cope with. And besides that, they are unable to understand why all these changes being made. Why we can't have church at this time? Why the choir can't sing every Sunday? All the choir members can sing every Sunday. Pastor, he keep changing. Talking about he wants some praises up there. Then he keep bringing this other woman. She sing by herself. She ain't even in the choir. Why all these changes? I just want to hear my favorite song. You ain't got this. And it's just, you see. And these things, my people being trained, I'm not having a whole lot of resistance. Now, I know I have some. They don't verbalize it, but I know it. But I believe that they got enough word in them to convert.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But somebody got to be willing to make a change.
Yes, right.
And somebody got to be willing to face the resistance.
Yes, sir.
You know, when you're bringing correction in the church, a lot of time, you know, people don't want that. They don't want no corrector. Resistor don't want no corrector. They just want everybody to be nice. How you love, walk in love. Love corrects.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Real love corrects. You know, everybody have, hi, how you doing? How you going to do? No, you know, the devil kill all of us. And so sometimes changes go too fast because you're not keeping up. You're not paying attention. You done got down in your little hole, and you haven't stuck your head up enough for the leader to train you that we're about to come out of this hole.
Yeah.
All right? They are not ready for these changes and do not see or perceive what God is doing in these time periods. Now, that's very important. What God is doing in these time periods. Now, God is mobilized. God is not standing still. He told you stand still so you can see what way he's going. But God is constantly moving. For instance, if a good member, let me show you this, is just a good example. If a good member been in the church many years, been faithful, stay out of the church 3 or 4 weeks and get from under the spiritual covenant and anointing, even though they're reading their Bible, listen at their tape, But they're not the same person when they come back. They got to regroup because this thing been moving.
That's right.
Been moving on them 4 weeks. Going, if a church is really doing its business, you cannot stay away from that church and just come and sit back down in there and say, I'm back. That church, no, them 3 weeks you was going, that church moving to another dimension. God is always moving. And so perception is important. Perceiving. Jesus, many times, Jesus perceived things, spiritual perception. You know, we talk about conception, but we talk about perception. In other words, getting a clarity in the realm of the Spirit from the Holy Spirit exactly what is going on. If you try to figure it out with your mind, try to figure it out by talking to your constituents who are sitting with you, they probably don't know either, and y'all just then two crazy minds that got together. So you have to let the Holy Spirit help you keep up with the flow of the Holy Ghost, or you become a resistor. Then you'll find yourself in one meeting they had, a man stood up and said, you'll find yourself fighting against God. That's a loss right there. I said, that's a loss right there. You find yourself fighting against God. Okay. And then when you have resistors, how can don't let them throw you in the defense.
Yes, sir. Love it.
See, stay in offense. You ain't got to stay in the defense, because you let them throw you in the defense, then you and them are going to be fighting.
Yeah, right.
This ain't no war. You let them know ahead of time, this is not a war, you're going to lose. Because I got God on my side.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm trying to take these people somewhere they need to go.
Yeah, right.
And God going to help me.
Yeah.
And I got nothing to do. He's not going to help you. He's not going to help you. You resist him.
Yeah.
You know, it's about, I know God too. Yeah, I know. You better start doing what he say do. And stop just knowing him.
Yeah.
They're unable to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and their fear get a hold of them before the leadership does. They get all upset and all mad. You see these resistors here, the enemy. Now that the resisting spirit comes from the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
See the devil behind it. The devil is the anointer of resistors.
Yes, sir.
And see they're fearful. And further down the line, we can find out they're fearful because they're losing ground. They can't hold that little pat place no more.
Yeah, right, that's it.
You know, they get disturbed.
Yes,
you know, we've been doing this for 35 years. Wrong.
Come on.
35 years wrong.
Yeah.
Their fears, their ignorance, and their inner limitation become exposed to these new changes and things that are happening all around them. Ignorant, fear, ignorant, and inner limitation.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, boy, that inner limitation is something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Inner. Think about that. You better make a note of that. Inner limitation.
Okay.
See? That's why Paul asks in the third chapter of Ephesians that he might be strengthened in his inner man. That prayer also in Ephesians 1 is talking about the inner man. And then in Colossians, they got a prayer over that inner man. Be strengthened in the inner man. Stop struggling in the inner man and be strengthened in the inner man. And then finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, there's a place there for you. There's a place. They talk about salvation. They say, though many have come, but there's still room. There's a place, plenty of room. Where this school can take you, there's plenty of room.
Yes, sir.
Because the average Christian will never, the average minister will never get on these ground where the Spirit of God is desiring to take you in this school. Take you to a place of intimacy, a place of free of inner struggle, a place of inner awareness of who you are. And know you can't lose. And know every scripture is a weapon that back you up. And then you begin to live. I think we missed it, but the apostle helped me with this in Matthew 4:4, where man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded. He talked about the preceding word. Yeah, that's power, that word coming all the time, all the time. They have no jurisdiction to control it from happening. They can't stop it. These resistors could be elders, oh Lord, deacons, oh Lord, a committed functioning member, you see, because they get deceived. If they don't know the apostolic setup, they don't know how authority should function. They don't know that authority shouldn't ask you, do you want to go? Authority said, this is the way we're going. Yes. Joshua didn't ask them, do y'all want to march around the wall of Jericho this week? They'll all be dead right now. Yeah. See, if you really got a spiritual leader, when that leader speaks to you, you trust that leader. Yes. You trust him like you trust the Lord until they prove different. Yes. Now, I'm not telling you said there was no discernment. You need to discern because you'll be a Jim Jones deal. But I'm talking about if you got a good leader, they usually know where they're going. Yes, or the Lord's going to help them with grace and get them back in place.
Yes, sir.
All right? They are just fearful of all the changes that are taking place. People get afraid. People get afraid of changes. You know, the spirit world, the realm of the spirit, the supernatural, is a changing world. Why change? Because it's so far beyond our comprehension at any given moment. So if you're gonna function with God, you got to be ready to make a change, man. Because this spirit world be coating you with different dimensions of God. Different dimension of Jesus, different dimension of the kingdom begin to flow within you. And if you lock down, you're not going to have the faith to make that step.
Right. Yes, sir.
I think what happened to church, we got too much pep rally.
Yeah.
We're trying to make everybody a cheerleader.
Yeah.
But the dimension of the spirit is making you a strong, stable, steady man and woman of faith, that we walk by faith, not by sight. We're not just saying this, you know. How do you? They say this term sometimes, it be so dry. Blessed and highly favored. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Next few minutes, can you help me with this problem? You want to tell me, but you can't do it. You want to tell me. I just talked to you about 15 minutes ago. You were blessed and highly favored. Where you lost it at? These terms we get started using, these terms, and think because we use them and they're going to happen. No. No. You have to discipline yourself, train yourself, develop yourself, seek God's face consistently, and then God will be able to reward you with these things. See? I'm blessed and highly favored. I very seldom use that. But anybody around me knows it's there.
Yeah, right.
And you got a point to be trying to talk it in their head, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored, I'm blessed and highly favored. They're trying to make them blessed and highly favored by what they're saying. They're not going to happen like that.
Yeah. Come on.
They love the church of the Lord, but they think these changes should never have taken place at all. Now, you see, that's where it's tricky at now. You got a person who loves the Lord and loves the church. That's why we got to have godly wisdom to deal with that type of person. Because a lot of times you won't have to lose them. You just have to explain to them why certain things is going on, what the vision is saying, what's the purpose, and to clear up the ignorance. Because the person really loves the Lord and at a stage in their life where they need to grow.
Right. Yeah.
Are you following me? It says, why resistors arise in the churches? Number one, because of ignorance. Number two, because of inadequate communication. Mm-hmm. Number three, unhealthy spiritual condition in the church. We're going to look at all three of those. Because of the ignorance. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And so an ignorant Christian is supreme ignorance. Because it's so dangerous to be an ignorant Christian. And Lord, an ignorant preacher. I'm not calling nobody ignorant, but I'm just calling the shoe black and one shoe. See, the shoe's black and he got brown shoes on. Just different colors, you know. You just got to call it what it is, and see, that's what people, they can't get. The people are not real. One moment I found out in my life, people couldn't handle Fred Price. They couldn't handle him. You know why? He was strict to the sense. I mean, to the whatever you talk to him about, he won't. Well, yeah, I said. They said, Dr. Price, I'm with you. He said, we'll see. Yeah, wow. Yeah, you that tell him, I'm 100% behind you, Dr. Price. So I never told him that. I'm 100% behind. He says, all right, we'll see.
Yeah.
And you write him a letter of resignation, and in the letter of resignation, you give him different strokes about how nice a guy he was and all that. And he said, I don't believe none of that. You leaving? I don't believe none of that. Putting the track in.
Yeah.
Wow. And found out he's a man ahead of time. They couldn't handle him.
Yeah.
See. And so let's look at the ignorant part. She can refine you up in here. duck when they find you. Just duck. Well, these resistors rise because of ignorance. They have not received all the valuable and necessary information concerning the purpose of these new things or changes that are happening around them. Now, we're about to get in a whirlwind here at Word of Life and at headquarters and all the other churches and these pastors, these ministers. But one pastor called a day. He had two or three key people left because he's trying now to implement bringing the youth in and, you know, somebody don't like, you know, taking their place.
Wow.
You know, so. So, but I told him about the apostle I know said when he began to do exactly what the Lord was showing him to do apostolically, his church grew from 2,500 to 1,500. You missed it. You missed it. His church grew. Yeah, it grew. It grew because the 1,500 is better than the 25. See, that 1,000 was left. Really wanted their own position, and there was a stagnation to the trail. They're building it back up now, you know.
Yeah, right.
So that's why I don't really get too unglued when somebody leave, because they didn't respect me nowhere. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Huh? You just might want to quit school next week. That's fine. I don't know. They might give you some of your money back. I don't know how that run, you know. But you know. Because I mean, you know, because you want me to be up here, and we've had enough of that already. Now every now and then I go back to my Baptist root. I get happy and serve. My people just have moist on me, you know, but I try to hold away from that. Yeah. Cause you can watch the cartoon, you can watch it on TV.
Yeah.
Got a lot of spiritual cartoons on TV. So it's important to receive the necessary information concerning the purpose of things, new things, the change that are happening around you. These is ignorant, number two, either because they have deprived themselves of this knowledge by their own carelessness or ill-disciplined lifestyle. Carelessness and an ill-disciplined lifestyle will cause you to miss where God is trying to take you. Or they have purposefully deprived, or they have been purposefully deprived by those in authority above them. In other words, they haven't been taught nothing. And so they're ignorant as a goose in a hailstone with no head on. And the devil's dropping big stone, and they get knots out of their head. Inadequate communication is the second thing in time of changes. Inadequate communication. So it's so important. Communication is important to put forth. Now, sometimes, even when you're doing this, I have members in here. You know, I talk about things. I come and talk about it. You know, well, even in my prosperity, a lot of time I come tell them what I'm about to do before I do it. So it won't be such a shock to their system.
Yes, yes.
And you know, and then sometimes when there's changes in the church, I'd come out to you on Sunday morning, I just start talking about it. We ain't going to do this. This is what we're going to do, et cetera. And that's communication. You got communicate. This is what we are, communicators.
Yes,
just at a deeper dimension in the spirit.
Yeah.
We're not entertainers.
Yes, sir.
you know, because we, that emotional thing could have killed my ministry if I wouldn't have kept seeking and being hungry after God. My ministry's success is a success now because I found out how to communicate properly and how to receive communication properly and get the information right, and then begin to train and discipline and beat myself into the right focus to do what God telling me to do, and aligning myself and jerking myself back. Inadequate communication in time of change, that's dangerous. Because why are we doing this? We need to know. With a proper flow of good communication, we can save time, implement changes in a specific area of the church, and reduce the number of mistakes that can happen from a breakdown of communication. All right? We're talking about these things that these resistors here, how these resistors are developed. Ignorance. And then we're talking about the second thing, we're talking about inadequate communication. All right, unhealthy spiritual condition in the church. Now we got a lot of that, you know. Class?
Yes,
sir. Unhealthy, you know, we done went through something in this generation, men playing around with little boys and all kind of stuff going on, you know. The priests got billions of dollars they got to play for messing with them little boys, and then the men run around and leave their wife running with another woman, marry somebody else, and the fools just keep setting up there, talking about, this is my pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. See. I mean, that's not the Lord. You don't see me compromising here, gentlemen. Not the Lord. Not the Lord. If I leave Carolyn, all y'all need to leave this church. You won't sit under me talking about it didn't work out. So here's my new wife. Let's follow the Bible now. That was, you know, then I said, let's follow the Bible. God said, forgive everybody. And she's the person who not real said, man, I wouldn't say it to you. Suppose you leave her. Well, I want the members to leave. I need to die. I need to have nobody come in Sunday morning, nobody to preach to. Because the things I preach to them, I didn't do myself.
Yes, sir.
It ain't going to happen.
No.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And see, Carolyn can't leave me because where she go, I'm going to move with her. Say, I'm leaving. I said, all right, honey. Wait a minute, I'll be right back. Let me give me some underwears and stuff. I'll be right back. I'm going with you. I ain't about training nobody else, boy.
Yes, sir.
I know I got a few amen in here. Unhealthy spiritual condition in the church. Now, see, because of a lack of apostolic strength, we have unhealthy churches. I'm not proud of that. I pray to God that we can do a lot of changing to that and help God people. These are genuine people who love God, but wrong information brings forth wrong manifestation.
Yes, sir.
Okay? All right? Inadequate training. You ought to thank God. You ought to kiss the ground you walk on that God let you in a school at a time like this to tear down some things in you, Jeremiah said, and then build the right things in you that you can live a good life down here under God. These resistors rise in many churches because of the spiritual condition of these churches. You see, now, if I was a wayward man, you would have wayward men in this church. See, if my wife was a wayward woman, you'd have wayward women in this church. But these women are dignified and the men are dignified because we dignify. You know, I'm not talking about some things we may not know, but let's stay here long enough, we're going to know. I always tell people that. If the church is filled with people, watch this now. Watch this. Watch this. If the church is filled with people who have tremendous inner struggle, fear, and limitation, change is a fearful event because they're already unstable. Why we can't still have church at 9 o'clock? My whole system is set up for 9 o'clock. We've been doing it for 15 years. Then he come up there because he want to change something to my 10 o'clock. They ain't heard nothing about the dream I had. The vision I had from God. And they ain't going to pay no attention to the results, but the results are different. I've had more than one. It's two people for sure. I think it's more than that. Said to us, they didn't join the church. She said, because that hour would make a difference for her for all she had going on. What is his name? Darius Lewis? Who came here Sunday morning? Derek Luke came here Sunday morning. They didn't know the church had changed for 10 o'clock, so they thought they were going to be a half hour late at 9:30. She said, thank you so much. It's 10 o'clock, so it's half hour early. And then I got to train my members that we came here to see Jesus. They got it all on Instagram where they had the people lean back and take a picture with them. I took the man to my house and showed him my house and sat down at my table. I didn't ask him for one picture. I don't need no picture with him. These people want rest. The man come to hear about Jesus. Denzel going to come to this church. What you going to do when the president walk in front of you and said, I've been watching your ministry. Lord Jesus, I probably had to get a stick and whoop all y'all. Just be still, man. God, dog. I mean, my office, I look on the screen, the man and his wife trying to sit there, and they're all leaning, sitting down. One lady get on her knee and from rubbing all over the people. Leave the people alone. Yeah. Jesus. So changes unhealthy spiritual condition in the church. I'm gonna say it again Sunday. Next movie star come here gonna have peace. Yeah. I'm gonna break somebody's leg. Man, he kept asking me over and over again. His wife kept asking me, what can we do for y'all? What can we do for y'all? What can I do for you? Come on, Dad. You know what the average preacher would say? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, any check you send will be all right. Yeah. Oh, man. Changes exposes these hurts, fear, and inner frustration in the people when there's an unhealthy spiritual condition. Now, I use Word of Life as an example, and I see 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more members than that in here tonight, and these happen to be faithful members, and we have challenges and things that come against us just like anybody else, but the membership at large is not afraid of changes because they know I'm aiming totally to follow after God, and by the grace of God, I have fruit in my life. I mean, you go to a tree and find the right fruit on the tree. You know it's a pretty good tree. If it's a pear tree and it got pears on it, it's a tree that have not been crossbred. You understand that, right? Yeah, amen. So we need to bring consistent change and forward momentum to our churches so that our churches would not fall far behind our society in their rate of change. Wow, that's a statement here. Look, watch. What, good God Almighty. I highlighted it in yellow. We're talking about unhealthy spiritual church condition, but it said we need to bring consistent change and forward momentum to our churches so that our churches would not fall far behind our society in their rate of change. Now, I even disagree with this. And we ain't going to fall far behind. See, that's a good statement, but our church should be ahead of society. We need to encourage the membership to learn to regain its lost heritage as the agents of God of change in a changing world. Listen to this. We need to encourage the membership or encourage the student in this school to learn to regain its lost heritage. Now that's that divine order. That's Isaiah 9. That's Isaiah chapter 11. 9 talks about the increase of an establishment and order of his government. Yes, the Lord Jesus unto us a child is born. The 11th chapter tells us how he did it. He did it in the anointing, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of understanding. So in the 9th chapter, you read the 9th chapter of Isaiah, read the 11th chapter of Isaiah, you'll see just how Jesus did it. And that when the shifting starts going on, and it already has begun, you'll be able to do it in a flow of the anointing. See, church changes consist of church anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke, that holding you from making that next step. Are you following me? So when you're talking about this piercing the spirit realm, when you're talking about an open heaven, when you're talking about moving with God in momentum, it's talking about an anointing there to, I know when Creflo and I was preaching, we ran up on this revelation, an anointing of ease. Anointing of ease, sweatless anointing. That's right, sweatless anointing. Where Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I've been there a long time, children. I've been there a long time because I know Leroy can't do this. You know, I've been there a long time. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When other people are struggling, fearful how they're going to make it, et cetera, et cetera, I've never been there. I say, like Caleb said at 80 years old, for 47 years, not one word that God has spoken to me has failed.
Yeah.
Every time he came through.
Yeah.
And he will not fail you.
Yeah.
You apply yourself, present yourself to him, and recognize that he's a moving God. He's a moving God. He's so solvent, he's so vast, you will never capture him. It's always more. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." They will, in essence, they will constantly be being filled.
Yes.
See. So the resistors be those who prevent anything from happening. The characteristics of these unchangeable, rebellious resistors are people who resist any change. Or yield in obedience to the God of change. They resist it. They will not allow these crucial changes at any cost because they have no desire to change their lifestyle or thought pattern. It's a bastard in disguise. They're clamoring God, but they act like they don't know him. He's the father of spirits. And you got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to make a change. God, you see, God not changing. God is changing you to know him at that stage. He never run out. You never will fully know him. He's too vast for that. I mean, so it's always a room for another table. That's what the excitement about. You know, wouldn't it be a duh God if we know him completely? But what keep you hungry and keep you thirsty, there are times in your life where your spirit said, "There's so much more." I don't know if your spirit ever talked to you. "There's so much more. There's so much more." Don't become satisfied because you sung 3 songs and preached 2 sermons and 2 people fell out. Don't become satisfied with that. No, because there's so much more, so much more, so much more. They will not allow these crucial changes at any cost because they have no desire to change their lifestyle or thought pattern. I've had people leave the church. They didn't want to chant. They didn't want to chant their religious songs. They didn't want to change their prayer. Where they wasn't praying to God, they were talking to the people.
They
were rhyming in their prayer. I had one man, one deacon praying that the frog had a gun in his pocket. Yeah, he praying. I said, "Oh, wait a minute." Oh, I said, get up, bro. Say, I sit down over there. And I finished the prayer myself. He said, "A frog had a gun in his pocket." Oh, Lord. And brother, the sisters was on the move when he did that. Then I had a guy who didn't live right. He was a younger man. He didn't live. He wasn't living right. He finally left his wife. His wife was in the back seat of my car. My wife and I in the front, his wife in the back seat. And she saw him with another woman in my car. And he was a deacon. And he was the head prayer. Boy, they all, when he said, called his, almost called his name. When they called his name to pray, everybody got happy. Because that rocker knew how to groan, boy. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. It's early in the morning. We need you right now. Bigger than the devil in the church. And he was a nice guy. Nice guy. He lived today. He's a nice guy. But he just had habits. Watch this now. Resist the bee. They will resist any change, listen very closely, that will move them from their comfort zone. Their comfort zone. This sin of convenience hold them in their mold of hardness and rebellion. Their motto is self must not be afflicted in any change that take place around here. You don't take myself, don't take it from me. Now the reason behind the paradigm, the set ways of a resistor, be resistor, they are unwilling to pay the price for the changes that are taking place in the church. Unwilling to pay the price. They do not see the necessity to pay the price for this process of change to take place. So they resist it. These resistors do want their spiritual position, don't want their spiritual position to be altered because of these coming changes. Spiritual position. When the implementation of changes bring others to a greater spiritual position and maturity, it rocked the boat of those who are spiritually immature yet holding spiritual position. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Yeah, it rocked the boat. You got somebody coming along and study, praying, and they've been sitting in that spot for 15 years and haven't been praying and studying like they should. And then that young uprooter coming with the anointing on their life. And then there's got to make some changes. Got to make some changes. These resistors attack changes because they do not want to allow the senior minister and the leadership to exercise ministerial authority over their lives. I better study this because, you know, Barbara Rania, she's listening somewhere. And then two things that they don't want to let the minister, they don't let the authority. See, that apostolic authority has not been in the church. It, to allow the man of God to have full delegated authority over their life spells disaster to them. You know, these people go get married. They tell you they're going to get married. Hey, I'm getting married. I say, okay. Hey, I'm quitting my job. Okay. Then they didn't ask me nothing.
Hmm?
And then after they come back, then they make their round, you know, they get married, quit their job, then they come back, and they say, man of God, what can you do? Now, my answer should be to them, absolutely nothing, but I say, let us pray. May the grace of God. See, you learn that over the area. Now, when I was early part of the ministry, I said, I can't do nothing for you. But I've learned and grew in the grace. I know you're going to have people do that. Then here's one good one for you. The reason they don't let the authority that God had placed on them exercise that authority. You see, those people was rebellious, but they did go to the Red Sea when Moses told them, come on, let's go.
Yeah. Right.
Huh? Yeah. And they did march around that wall, even though it was stupid, it seemed like, to march around that wall. You really got to be, because them people shoot you off that wall with an arrow, you walking around there talking about marching around the wall. But they did it, see. And so they respected authority. Huh? And Gideon sent a whole of them back, 30-something thousand. They sent them back because they wasn't ready for it. To follow orders. There's a soldier that don't follow orders get you killed, boy.
That's right.
A demon jump over in the church and you dealing with the demon. And you got this little sympathetic group. They won't sympathize because, you know, they're more holy and spiritual than you. And they don't even see the demon sitting on the pointing head. The demon waving at them. They said, yeah, hello. And they still looking at the authority. They should, vroom, vroom. Pastor shouldn't did that. Half the time, pastor don't know what he's doing himself. He's just trying to follow the Lord. Sometimes pastor tell himself, you shouldn't have done that. But the Lord said, do it. The Lord has said, do this, you understand? And it came out right. So in the process, you turn against the Lord sometimes yourself. But all these people here with unbelief and been fussing. And these resistors, they don't want their lifestyle to be altered by these changes. See, it's all about changes when you walk with God. When God is allowed to move in the church, watch this now, a change in lifestyle will result. I remember the deacon board meeting I was in, and I had to rob a rule of order book. I went to the bookstore and got me some stuff. And the meeting wasn't going right. So I had to rob a rule of order and I had the Bible. And they wouldn't accept neither one of them. We're not going by that. That's what they told me. We're not going by that. I said, all right. Then Reb said that. Reb, he was scared, so ain't nothing I can do, man. All right. These changes will affect our lifestyle drastically, and it is these type of changes that resistors hate to face. These resistors do not want to lose their positions and the leverage to manipulate the future ventures and destiny of their local church. Oh boy, I wish I could take y'all back with me a while. Even in the early moments of Mount Zion Baptist Church is where this church came out of. It revolved out of that church. And man, and it wasn't a bad Baptist church because the pastor sort of had those people. He was a teacher, and I pastor his granddaughter today, and I pastor my pastor's daughter today. I pastor the pastor who's pastoring his church, his granddaughter and his grandson. His grandson came with his family about 5 or 6 months ago and became a member of this church. I didn't really know Pastor Thomas. I saw him one time. They invited me to come preach for him. I went to a wake service there, and I said a few words, and two sisters, and pastor, the daughter and the granddaughter here, who asked me to come preach. I said, no, can y'all don't pastor this church? I said, if your pastor sent for me, I'd come preach. I'd ask my pastor, can I come? And I'll come. And they did, and I asked my pastor, yeah, boy, go ahead. And I preached for him, and then this Pastor Thomas was that's his great-granddaughter right there. Great-granddaughter sitting right there. He was going in and out. He was a nice man, but he was ahead of his time because he was teaching those people. He wasn't a hooper. Marrying the girls who'd been there with him, and I still pastor some of them girls. They say he was a teacher. He would explain things to them. And I had never met Pastor Thomas. I went there and I preached a message. I don't even remember what I preached. And right after I got through preaching, he got up. He says, I'm resigning if y'all take this young man here. First time seeing me. So I knew he could read the spirit. Because I always lived a clean life ever since I got saved. And I didn't know whether my pastor was going to let me go. And they called for me the next week. And I asked my pastor. He said, yeah, go ahead on, boy. You ready to go? He said, you ain't getting nowhere here. My pastor told you that. Go ahead, boy. Take that church. You're going to get away here. And I came and took the church. So God, you know, God. Anyway, this church evolved out of that church. And that church wasn't as bad as the average Baptist church. And some of them still is today. They clean it up some, but it still is. They don't want no changes. No, they'll fight changes. But the Bible is therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And that process is ongoing in your life. It's ongoing in the Christian walk. And right now, as I conclude tonight, we're right in the midst of and change in the church of the apostolic anointing is ushering back in the church. All over the world, and the Lord have put the brake, put the accelerator on us, and all the churches that I go to every year. Now, every now and then I let another church I go, if the Lord let me, got letters back there now, I don't know where I'm going now, because they're not ready for the change, and I ain't going there. I ain't going there fighting all night with them.
Yes, sir.
I ain't got time to be fighting with them people. I fought them people for 30 years. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Then if you don't want to make the change, if you don't want it, brother, I mean, it just, you can't, if the pastor don't want it, and I've been to churches where membership wanted it.
Yeah.
Now, I can't overrule a pastor.
Right.
So I'm trying to tell him something clear, and then the pastor, I can feel him breathing unbelief and got his brakes on. And you know, you ever saw from the farm, you had two rain. One was on Jesse and one was on Jerry. That's two horses my daddy had. Now, Jesse, you can talk to him and say, whoa, but Jerry ain't no talking. You got to jerk, try to jerk his teeth out, because he trying to go all the time. And so you got these Jesses and Jerrys up in church. You got to be dealing with them, man. You got to be dealing with them. So study Isaiah 9 and 11. Just read it and get the bulk of what he's saying. We're going to keep dealing with these resistors until we get to some levels of authority. But we're still dealing with these characteristics, because if we just had this type of information to know how to properly help people who were against themselves, you'll leave this school knowing that. Some of y'all may pastor churches, whatever way God use you. You may go in a situation in another local pastor church. You must remember, never try to overrule that pastor, make him look bad.
Yes,
he invited you to preach. You at that man's house.
Right.
And so you can't change that man's house. I've tried to do this. I went in pastor's pulpit and tried to change their house, tried to change the pastor, and I was wrong. I did that. I mean, I thought I was doing God a favor, but he still was the man of that house.
Yes.
And so any liberty God gave me, I could have done it, but if the man's still a pastor.
Right.
Even now in my apostleship, when I go to my son's churches, I let them walk. You know, go ahead. I want your people to see you first, not me. And even though I have authority there, but you don't abuse your authority. The pastor should look good at all times, even if he's making a mistake. Because if his heart right, he got to live with these people. So you don't go in there talking about, I'm the apostle, let's change this and put this out. You just have to have wisdom to do it. Now, I will deal with that money bucket.
Yeah.
If you got a midget bucket, I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to deal with that bucket. They know all over the world I'm going to deal with that bucket. So they know not to bring that little bucket. Hey, what is that? I said, ma'am, is that the offering bucket? That bucket is so small, you discourage people from even giving. The bucket is full after three people put their offering in there. So we've changed bucket all over the world. All right, I'm through. You just keep studying. I don't know when you're going to pass your test paper out or what. The test paper got to be passed out? I don't know. Just hang in there. Get ready for your next class. God bless you.